Goedendag vanuit Studio 7 van Radio Sefania. Tijd voor een uitzending vanaf nu tot 1 uur. En ook vannacht wordt de uitzending geopend door zuster Emma. Met het openingsgebed en het Bijbelleesplan. Na zuster Emma, Pastor Samueli. Sefania Radio wens een fijne gezegende luistertijd toe.
Dankjewel, broeder Cor. Ja, lieve luisteraars. Ik groet u allen in de wonderbare naam van onze Heer en Heiland. Onze Heer Jezus Christus. Die is gegeven alle macht in de hemel en op de aarde. Ja, luisteraars, het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Sefania, waar onze Heer Jezus Christus centraal staat. Trouwe God en Vader, we danken u voor deze moment. Voor deze uren van aanbidding, loven en prijzen. Vader, we danken u voor uw goedheid en voor uw genade. We prijzen uw heilige naam. We geven u de eer, de lof en de dank, omdat u het waardig bent, Vader. Vader, en u bent waardig te ontvangen alle lof en alle eer. Want u bent de ware wijnstok, u bent onze eeuwige Vader. U bent de koning der koningen en de heer der heerscharen. U bent de leeuw van Juda en u bent de wonderbare raadsman, de sterke God, de vredevorst bent u. Vader, dank u wel. Dank u wel voor de glorie van uw naam, mijn heiland. Dat wij u zo mogen prijzen en loven. Vader, en we danken u, Vader Jezus. Voor alle gospels radio's, Vader. We danken u, Vader Jezus, voor alle bisstonden die gehouden worden. We danken u voor de vrede van Jeruzalem, Vader Jezus. Vader, we bidden vrede in deze wereld, mijn heiland. Vader, we danken u dat u de waarmaker is van uw woord, Vader. En dat u uw belofte nooit breekt, Vader. Vader, dank u wel voor alle luisteraars, mijn heiland. Dank u wel, Vader Jezus, dat wij naar u mogen denken, Vader. Dat wij u mogen aanbidden, Vader. En dat wij u mogen prijzen, want u ben God en niemand meer. Vader, dank u wel voor de glorie van uw naam, mijn heiland. Voor de kinderen die de school is weer open, Vader. Dank u wel, Vader. Dank u wel voor alle plaatsen die weer gaan beginnen, Vader. U heeft alles in uw handen, Vader. Vader, maar wij bidden uw bescherming en uw beschutting, mijn heiland. We bidden u, Vader Jezus, dat u ze omringt met uw goddelijke liefde, mijn heiland. Vader, ook de ziekenhuizen willen wij u toebidden, Vader Jezus. Voor allen die in de ziekenhuis werken en de zieken die daarin zijn, Vader Jezus. Wilt u hun een hand toereiken, Vader. En de verpleegkundigen, de artsen, de professors, allemaal, Vader, in een ziekenhuis, Vader. welke ziekenhuis het ook is, mijn heiland. En we danken u daarvoor dat wij dit mogen bidden, Vader Jezus. Vader, omdat wij in u geloven, wij vertrouwen in u, Vader Jezus. Want u hebt ons uw volle verlossing gegeven, Vader. En wij mogen tot u komen bidden, Vader Jezus. En we loven en prijzen uw machtige naam voor alles wat gij doet, Vader. En we danken u ook daarvoor, Vader Jezus. Vader, we bidden ook voor allen die in huis zijn, Vader Jezus. Vader, maar we zijn ook blij, Vader Jezus. Want uw werk moet doorgaan, Vader Jezus. Vader, we danken u. En we in één woord, mijn heiland, voor wereldvrede en voor wereldgezondheid, Vader. Dank u wel, Vader. Voor zuster Marlene en broeder Cor, mijn heiland, en uw gezin. En voor alle gezinnen, mijn heiland, waar ze ook zijn, Vader. Wilt u ze aanraken, Vader? Wilt u ze zegenen, Vader? Vader, want u bent de bron des levens. In uw licht, Vader, zien wij het licht. Vader, en we danken u voor beschutting, Vader. We danken u dat u met ons bent, Vader, al de dagen van onze leven, mijn heiland. En we danken u, Vader, dat u groot en machtig bent. In woorden en in daden, Vader. Vader, dank u wel dat u goede tieren bent, Vader. Dank u wel, Vader, dat u waakt over ons, mijn heiland. Over ieder, Vader Jezus, hoe ver het ook is, welke land het ook is, Vader. U bent overal. En we danken u daarvoor in Jezus' wonderbare naam. Ja, lieve luisteraars. We gaan lezen uit 1 Korintiërs hoofdstuk 2. 1 Korintiërs hoofdstuk 2. Maar we gaan eerst lezen uit Psalm 111. De weldaden des Heren. En het zegt, halleluja. Ik zal de Heren van ganser harte loven. In de kring der oprechten en in de vergadering. Groot zijn de werken des Heren. Na te speuren door allen die er behagen in hebben. Majesteit en luister is zijn doen. En zijn gerechtigheid houdt eeuwig stand. Hij heeft voor zijn wonderen een gedachtenis gestikt. Genadig en barmhartig is de Heere. Hij gaf spijzen aan wie hem vrezen. En gedenk voor eeuwig zijn verbond. Hij deed zijn volk de kracht van zijn werken kennen. Door hun de erf der heidenen te geven. De werken zijner handen zijn waarheid en recht. Betrouwbaar zijn al zijn bevelen. Vastgesteld voor immer en altoos, volbracht in waarheid en oprechtheid. Hij heeft aan zijn volk verlossing gezonden. Hij heeft zijn verbond voor eeuwig verordend. Heilig en geducht is zijn naam. De vreze des Heren is het begin der wijsheid. Een goed inzicht hebben allen die ze betrachten. Zijn lof houdt eeuwig stand. Psalm 111. De weldaden des Heren. En het einde van onze psalm zegt, en de vreze des Heren is het begin der wijsheid. Een goed inzicht hebben allen die ze betrachten. Zijn lof houdt eeuwig stand. Lieve luisteraars. Dan gaan we lezen uit 1 Korintiërs hoofdstuk 2. En het zegt, wie roemen in de Heere. Ook ben ik, toen ik tot u kwam, broeders, niet met schittering van woorden, maar niet met schittering van woorden of wijsheid, u het getuigenis van God komen brengen. Want ik had niet besloten iets te weten onder u dan Jezus Christus en die gekruisigd. Ook kwam ik in zwakheid met veel vrezen en beven tot u. Mijn spreken en mijn prediking kwam ook niet met meeslepende woorden van wijsheid, maar met betoon van geest en kracht, opdat uw geloof niet zou rusten op wijsheid van mensen, maar op kracht van God. Vers 6, de ware wijsheid. Toch spreken wij wijsheid bij hen die daarvoor rijp zijn. Een wijsheid echter niet van deze eeuw, nog van de beheersers deze eeuw. Wie macht er niet gaat, maar wat wij spreken als een geheimenis, is de verborgen wijsheid Gods, die God reeds van eeuwigheid voorbeschikt heeft tot onze heerlijkheid. En geen van de beheersers deze eeuw heeft van haar geweten, want indien zij van haar geweten hadden, zouden zij de Heere der Heerlijkheid niet gekruisigd hebben. Maar gelijk geschreven staat, wat geen oog heeft gezien en geen oor heeft gehoord, en wat in geen mensenhart is opgekomen, al wat God heeft bereid voor degenen die hem lief hebben. Want ons heeft God het geopenbaard door de Geest. Want de Geest doorzoekt alle dingen, zelfs de diepten Gods. Wie toch onder de mensen weet wat in een mens is, dan des mensen eigen geest die in hem is. Zo weet ook niemand wat in God is, dan de geest Gods. Wij nu hebben niet de geest der wereld ontvangen, maar de geest uit God, opdat wij zouden weten wat ons door God in genade geschonken is. Hiervan spreken wij dan ook met woorden die niet door menselijke wijsheid, maar door de geest geleerd zijn, zodat wij het geestelijke met het geestelijke vergelijken. Doch een ongeestelijke mens aanvaardt niet hetgeen van de geest Gods is, want het is hem dwaasheid en hij kan het niet verstaan, omdat het slechts geestelijk te beoordelen is. Maar de geestelijke mens beoordeelt alle dingen, zelfs echter wordt hij door niemand beoordeeld. Want wie kent de zin des Heren, dat hij hem zou voorlichten? Maar wij hebben de zin van Christus. Dan lees ik hoofdstuk 3 tot 9. Tweedracht. En ik, broeders, kon niet tot u spreken als tot geestelijke mensen, maar slechts als tot vleeselijke, nog onmondigen in Christus. Melk heb ik u gegeven, geen vastvoedsel, want dat kunt gij nog niet verdragen. Ja, dat kunt gij ook nu nog niet, want gij zijt nog vleeselijk. Want als er onder u nijd en twist is, Zijt gij dan niet vleeselijk? En leef gij niet als onveranderde mensen? Want wanneer de een zegt, ik ben van Paulus, en de ander zegt, ik van Apollos, zijt gij dan niet onveranderde mensen? Zijt gij dan niet onveranderde mensen? Wat is dan Apollos? Of wat is Paulus? Dienaren door wie gij tot geloof gekomen zij. En wel zoals de Heere dit aan een ieder geschonken heeft. Ik heb geplant, Apollos heeft begoten. Maar God gaf de wasdom. Daarom, nog wie plant, nog wie begiet, betekent iets. Maar God die de wasdom geeft, wie plant en wie begiet, staan gelijk. Alleen zal elk zijn eigen loon krijgen naar zijn eigen werk. Want Gods medearbeiders zijn wij, Gods akker en Gods bouwwerk zijn gij. Tot zover, lieve luisteraars. Ik heb gelezen 1 Korintiërs, hoofdstuk 2. En ik ben gegaan naar vers 6, de ware wijsheid, vers hoofdstuk 3 en 2 daar. We danken de Heere voor zijn woord en we blijven zeggen, als Jezus met ons wandelt, is ieder voetstap licht. En als Jezus met ons gaat, vrezen wij geen kwaad. Ik dank u dat u hebt geluisterd. Zo tezamen met broeder Cor en zuster Marlene. En ik zou zeggen, de Heere zegene u allen rijkelijk. Ook alle moeders wens ik nog vele gezonde en gelukkige jaren toe. En de Heere zal u leiden naar de volle waarheid. In Jezus' wonderbare naam. Halleluja. Amen.
Amen, zuster Emma. Dank u wel ook vannacht dat u klaar stond om met ons te leren uit het woord van God. De Heere zingt u ook rekelijk. Goedenacht rust en tot morgen zo de Heer het leidt.
Ja, en dan wil ik de kor vragen om plaat te draaien voor alle moeders.
Goed, zal ik doen, ja.
Ja.
Goed, dank u wel.
En nogmaals de groetjes aan zuster Marlene.
Zal
en
aan
alle luisteraars, gezegende avond in Jezus' wonderbare naam. Amen.
Amen.
Dank u, de kor.
Dank u, zeg maar.
Dank u, zuster Marlene.
You see, life is not always beautiful. Life is not always happy. Many times we go through hardship in life. And the sad news and the bad news in that is that even good people suffer. You see, it's not that because somebody is good, he or she will not suffer. Suffering is a part of human experience. And every human being in this world can suffer. Even if you are the most holiest, most beautiful, most cleanest person in the world, you may suffer. And that is my message today, is about suffering and how God can use the suffering and turn it into a blessing. And my message today is about a great man in the Bible. His name is Job. A great man in the Bible, his name is Job. How many of you know the story of Job? Job has an amazing story. A story full of sorrow and sadness that ends into a blessing. And I'm not going to read the entire book for you, but I'm going to explain some part of it, and then I'm going to share my message with you. Just let us open the book of Job, chapter 1. The book of Job, chapter 1 and verse 1. This is what it says. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless. Somebody say blameless. This man was blameless and upright. He was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep. In our term today, he was a millionaire. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. I think you can call him the Bill Gates of that time. All right? The only difference was his business was sheep and cattle and not computers. And in that time, that was a great thing, to be a multimillionaire and fear God. People of God, it's not easy to be a multimillionaire and fear God. Most multimillionaires don't fear God. It's not easy to be a rich man and serve God, because it's not easy, you know, wealth and money go together. But it is possible. And Job proved with his life that it is possible. Let's go further a little bit. And we go to verse 6. Because something is happening in verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with him. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you seen my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." And then Satan says in verse 9, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied, "Have you not put hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed him, the work of his hand, that his flock and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is in your hand. But on that man himself, do not lay your finger." Then Satan went out from presence of the Lord. One day when Job and his sons and daughters were feasting, you know, he attacked him. And then he lost, firstly, his family. Okay? And then after his family was hit, except his wife, then again, Satan challenged God and said, "You see, this man, you hit once more again his body, then he will, you know, turn back and curse you." So God said, "I trust this Job. Whatever you do, he is not going to do it." So Satan afflicted him from his feet down until the top of his head. He was wounded with sickness and disease. So you know all the story. And then he was again afflicted by this Satan. But never again he cursed God. Never again he came against God. Let us learn what happens after that. Job's friends came to him and they went and encouraged him. So this is the whole story, because the book of Job is very long. So I'm not going to read the entire book for you. But the whole story is that after Job was afflicted, after Job was hit by all disease, he lost everything. He's sitting on the ground. That imagine that, you know, in your eyes, and you picture it in your eyes. He's sitting on the ground, throwing ashes on his head and scratching his wounded body with the sand and stones because he is sick. And in the middle of that, still he's being challenged. Life is not easy sometimes. Life is not easy. Even good people can suffer. First challenge of Satan to Job was, Job lost all his servants, and Job lost all his sons, and Job lost all his daughters. But the Bible says in chapter 1 verse 20, if you open chapter 1 verse 20, he says, despite all these things, Job never stopped worshiping God. Hello. Job never stopped worshiping God. It doesn't matter how many afflictions came on him. He lost his children. He lost his sons and daughters. Nevertheless, the Bible says he never stopped worshiping God. He went on his knees and praised God and prayed to God. Can you imagine the pain this man goes through in his heart? The second challenge, as I mentioned to you, is that Job was afflicted with a serious disease, a skin disease, from his feet down to his head. He was so afflicted. He was so, you know, have you ever seen skin disease? My father is a skin medical doctor. I've seen a lot of skin disease pictures. It's disgusting, the skin sicknesses. And this man, he got this sickness. And you know, he has nothing to do, only scratching himself. The whole body was sick. And then listen what his wife said. His wife challenged Job. His wife said to Job, Job, lose your integrity. Why do you still worship this God? Why don't you curse God and die? Look at this. Look at this. Those who are new in this church, they teach you how to preach. Hello. In this church, they teach you how to preach. I never forget between my preaching. I never forget I invited a person here, and he preached very quiet and soft. And this man started preaching. He said, I have 10 points to share with you today about this and that. I think there was a mother in this church. He said, oh my God, have mercy. And then when he came to his last point, that was point number 10, he said, finally, my last point is, another mother said, thank you, Jesus. But the mother's thank you, Jesus, was too early. Because that man had the last point, and in that point there are already 3 points. So he said, my last point, finally. One mama said, thank you, Jesus. He said, but my last point has 3 more points. And another brother said, God have mercy. So in this church, they teach you how to preach. Praise the Lord. Give yourself a clap offering. Hallelujah. Our message is a heavy message. Sometimes to put a joke in between is good. Praise God. So you see, his wife said to Job, Job, why don't you just curse? That's why, you know, partners are important in life. Hello? The one that you choose to live until the end of your life is a very important choice. Because, you see, women, you are amazing. You are amazing people. Let me tell you something. My uncle is here in the Netherlands, and that uncle is the uncle who made me who I am today. Of course, after God and my parents. He is the person, I've preached about him many times in my sermons. He will come to church. He wants to see you. He's an elderly man. You know, he has a lot of wisdom in him. He said to me, son, listen, he was telling me this yesterday. He said, women are amazing people. I said, how come, uncle? He said, because a woman can turn a beggar into a king and a king into a beggar. You women are amazing people. So when you are an amazing people, make, support your partner and husband. Make him to be a king. Hallelujah. And husband's the same. It's the husband who makes the woman a queen or a beggar. But in case of Job, he was not lucky. Because his wife is saying, die and curse God and die. So she wants her husband to die. You see, a real marriage, you know it when you go through hardship. When everything is shaking, when everything is falling apart, when the money, dollar is not coming, when the rings are not coming, when the gifts are not coming, when you cannot pay your rent, when you cannot pay your house, when you cannot pay all your incassos, in the middle of that, marriage is so important. Because good husbands don't run, and good wives don't run. Runners don't rule, and rulers don't run. Are we listening today? Three gentlemen here. Are you listening?
Okay.
Listen well, huh? Praise God. He said, curse God and die. Why don't you die? Look at you. You are so miserable. Look at you. Die today. But listen, in the middle of that, Job did not choose to curse God. You see, many people today, they lose their integrity when they go through hardship. Many people today, they lose their integrity when they go through hardship and challenges. Even a small hardship makes them lose. Hello? They are offended so fast. Are we listening today? They are challenged so easily. They lose their integrity so easily. Why? Because they are challenged. Because they go through hardship. Listen, hardship can do two things to you. Either he will make you better or bitter. The choice is yours. If a hardship comes to your life, it can make you better or bitter. And many times, the people in this world today, they become bitter in place of better. Are we listening today? Man, this great man, this great prophet, this great worshiper of God, lost everything. His wife says, curse God and die. He's scratching himself. Blood is coming out of all his entire body. Wounds, smell, dirty. He did not refuse. He refused to curse God. He refused. Many people, when the problem comes, the first thing they do, they blame God. Are we listening? Listen, my friends, I don't want to disappoint you. Sometimes in life, don't blame God for everything. Don't come and say, why God did this to me? Why God did that to me? You see, maybe God is angry. Maybe God is this. You know, listen, if you have an angry image of God, it means you have not understood God. Hello? Are we listening? Some of you have a wrong image of God. Everything that you do, you are afraid. You think God is going to be angry. God is going to punish you. God, hello. Change your mindset about God. God is love. God is compassionate. God is merciful. Are we listening today? God is a good father. He may discipline you, but he will never be angry to you forever. Hello. Many people, as soon as a problem comes, is God. God don't like me. I am not favorite to God. You see, God loves this sister more than me. Hello. God does not love anybody more than anybody. God's love is eternal. And God's love is unmeasurable. So you cannot measure the love of God for this and that. God loved the world so much that he gave his beloved son. For those who believe, they shall not perish but have eternal life. Hello. You see, this man, he refused to curse God because he was a man of integrity. He didn't run away from his problems. Are we listening today? But many times, people, even some people came to me and said, Pastor, I will change my religion. I said, why? He said, I pray for 1 month. God did not answer me, so I'll change my religion. I'll become Muslim or I'll become Buddhist. I said, be my guest. Anything you want. If listen, God, can I talk to you? God is not a supermarket. You see, we think that God is a supermarket. And when we pray, our prayer is only, God, give me, give me, give me. That's not a prayer. God is not a supermarket. God is not Neckerman. God is not Wehkamp. God is not Albert Heijn. That you only go and pray to God and say, God, give me this. God, give me that. God, I need this. Hello. That is not how God is. Hello. God is also not an agent. God is God. And God also does not need any in-between man to settle your things. So don't think that because you handshake me more than 5 minutes, I can fix things with you in heaven. It's not possible. I have my own things to fix with God. I have my own problems that I need to fix with God. So don't come and handshake me. One time I was in one conference. One African brother came to me. He's shaking my hand. Oh, he's not losing. Not losing my hand. I say, my friend, my hand is breaking. Can you lose my hand? He said, no, I'm tapping the anointing. How do you tap the anointing? Anointing is not the water that you tap it. Hello. Tapping the anointing, I'm tapping. What do you tap? Are you stealing my tapping? Without my permission? Hey. God doesn't need an in-between man to arrange something. Jesus died so that there is no in-between man anymore. There is no priest between you and God. There is no pastor between you and God. The only person between you and God is that cross of Jesus, that Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross. Don't waste your time with all these pastors and preachers, priests, even myself. Are you listening to me? There is no in-between man. Direct contact with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God doesn't need an agent, and God does not have an Attenboro. God does not have, hello, direct contact with God. And how do you contact directly with God? Go on your knees and pray. Talk to God. You don't need to tap anointing without permission. Hello. You see, this man, he did not blame God. He didn't say God is... You see, there are two types of Christians in this world. One type of Christian, they are always blaming the devil. It's the devil who did it. The devil who did it. In this case, it's the devil. But even the man does not blame the devil. This Job, did you see him blaming the devil in the book? He didn't. He don't care. He just say, okay, this happened. I praise God. Yeah, there are two types of Christian. One Christian always blaming the devil. Behind every tree, they see a devil. Behind every shadow, they see a devil. Behind every pulpit, they see a devil. Sometimes it's true. Sorry, my language today. Today I'm hot. You understand? Sometimes devils hide behind pulpits. Okay, thank you, sir. But those kind of Christians, they blame everything. There was one Christian, even here in Amsterdam, Sados. The pastor was preaching that you must not have any furniture in your house. Yeah, a furniture. Pastor James was telling me that. He's not with us. He was telling me there was a pastor here in Amsterdam or, I don't know, Holland. That pastor was saying furnitures are not allowed. Why? Because furnitures have all these... How do you call that? Cabinets that in the night the devil may be inside. So you need to throw them out. So they throw them in the street. They might not know that maybe somebody will come and gather them and ship them somewhere. Don't let me open my mouth today. It's an easy business. Throw in the street midnight. some kabo come, we gather them, ship them. Who knows? Who knows? It's happening, no? Even in this church, I may not mention a name. Somebody, when he was a very young man, his heart was devoted to God. One pastor, he liked his jacket. He said, this jacket is from Europe. I like this jacket. And that he talked to that person so smooth that this person took his jacket and gave it to him to donate it to somewhere. I don't know. Like a donation. And then 2 weeks later, he see that pastor dressing the jacket himself. Hello. So sometimes, don't trust everyone who stands behind the pulpit. Hello? So there are some people who are always devil-minded. Everything is the devil. And there are some people who are always blaming God. They blame God. God is angry. They have stomach pain, they blame God. God is angry. They have back pain, they blame God because God is, hello. God is not like that. God is love. Hello. Now let's go further. I feel like preaching today. You see, now what happened is that this man refused. Instead, somehow he was angry to himself. He even cursed the day he was born, but he never cursed God. He never said, God, I curse you. Never, never, never. You may not believe me, but I have seen people with my eyes and ears who really curse God. Simply why? Because the girl that he loved, love him no more. Just for a girl. I'm sorry, I love you girls. I have high respect for you. But just for a girl, cursing God. Why? Because the girl don't like him. Man, that's terrible. Now, listen to this. Now in chapter 4, you read that Job's friends come to encourage Job. If you read chapter 4, you will see that Job's friend come to encourage him. You see, when you go through a problem in life, your friends come around you to encourage you, to talk to you. But they didn't know that, if you read it in chapter 4, they didn't know that their encouragement turned back and become a discouragement. So what did their friends do? Their friend, his friend, went to him and teach him what he has been always teaching them. You remember you said this and that and that. Now is your turn to believe in this and that. You have been saying you believe in God. Now is the time for you to do this and that and that and that. So they teach back to Job what Job has been teaching it to them. And at the same time, they accuse Job. They accuse Job that he has sinned. They said, Job, you see, in the middle of all these things, maybe you have sinned. That is why God has afflicted you. So, in other words, so-called friends went to encourage Job, but actually they mess him up and they really discourage him. People of God, I have an advice for you. When you see your friend is going through hardship and difficulty, there are times you don't need to talk. Just be with your friend. Keep the mouth. You said it, I didn't. You see, you don't need to go preach to that person. When a person is going through hardship and difficulty and suffering and pain, he or she has lost many things, he or she is sick, the only thing you need to do is your presence. You don't need to go preach to that person. If I go through hardship, don't come and preach to me what I've been preaching to you. Just talk to me. Encourage me. Pray for me. You don't need to come and say, you have seen that. There is a hidden sin. That's why we Christians are very good in judgment. Can I open my mouth? A person get disease. Oh, the devil. You know, he sinned. He sinned. That is why. Of course, sometimes sin leads you to sickness and disease. Like Pastor preached last week. But not everything. Not everything, my friend. Ah, did you hear that person got a car accident? Maybe there was a hidden sin in his life. So my question is, in your life, is there no hidden sin? I bet with you, in all of you, including myself, there are many hidden things. Oh. So you don't need to come and unhidden somebody's sin and tell him that, yeah, you have sinned, that's why, you know, but we pray for you. No, when your friend goes through difficulty in life, You don't need to preach to that friend. You only need to be there for that friend. You only need to listen to that friend. Keep zip the lip and open your ears and listen to a person who is suffering. But you don't need to come and preach to that person. Can I tell you something, my friends, my brothers and sisters? A real, genuine believer of Jesus Christ never judges other people. Never. If you say you are a believer, if you say you follow Jesus Christ, this finger, put it down, please, and stop judging other people, because even Jesus himself did not judge people. The only people Jesus judged was those people behind the pulpits that were hiding their sins behind their robes and behind their pulpits. They were the only ones that he judged. If you are a genuine Christian, please do not judge other people, because you never know why the person become the person he is or she is, because you don't know her life story. You don't know the wounds he or she has gone through in life. You don't know the pains and humiliations he have been going through in his life. And here you come with one sentence, you wipe away the life of that person and judge that person. Why? Don't judge, or else you will be judged. I will listen in today. Don't judge people. Your words have power. Your words have power to influence the future of somebody just by what we judge. Can I tell you a story? Once again, about my uncle. He was a school teacher, ordinary school teacher. You know, in our countries, in my time, when you are a school teacher, and then normally the school teachers discriminate. If you are the son of a rich man or a daughter of a rich man, they care very well for you. But if you are poor, nobody give anything to you. Understand me? Please listen carefully to what I'm saying. And in the school of my uncle, there is this principal that always give attention to this rich man's son. But there is a man whose son is a construction worker, but a very low paid construction worker. Very low. Nobody attention this child. No one. But the rich man's son get attention, get even gifts, everything, because he's a rich man's son. What my uncle did, he always bought ice cream for this young child. And he never forget that ice cream. 40, 50 years passed. That child is a very rich businessman in a country, in another country. He called his father and said, go and find that teacher that when I was 8 years old, when no one looked at me, when no one received me, he bought an ice cream for me. I need that man in my office. This is the power of good deeds. This is the power of how you treat people. Don't treat people because of the way they dress. Don't treat people because they look good and they look nice. Don't judge people because they look nice or they don't look nice. Don't judge people. But we Christians, as soon as our friends go through hardship and difficulty, we come and preach to them. You know, Pastor, don't you remember what Pastor said? He, at that time, that man will hate me. Please don't use my name. Do you remember what Pastor said? No, that man is suffering now. He doesn't need pastor. He needs a wife or a husband to encourage that person. And sometimes you need to keep the mouth shut. Just listen, just to be there. Do you know that Oprah Winfrey became a millionaire only by listening? Psychologists do nothing, only listen. You go to his office, he lay down, So tell me, my friend. Then you start telling your story. Oh, 1 hour is finished. You give your money, go. That's it. Oh, thank you. You have helped me. He didn't do nothing. He only listened to you. Listen to people. Don't judge people. Don't be religious for crying out loud. God doesn't like religion. And God doesn't like religious people. But these friends of him, what did they do? They become religious. According to John chapter 3 verse 5, he said that, you know, the devil will fall on my left, the devil will fall on my right. John chapter 3 verse 5, Matthew chapter 6 verse 3, Genesis chapter 1 verse 5. You know, my friend, you do like this, like this, like this. You are not promoting Christianity. You are destroying its name. At that time, just listen. A wise man knows when to talk and when to keep silent. Hallelujah. Are we listening today? Listen. His friends discourage him. His friends accuse him. You are a sinner. You have a hidden sin. Look at you. The man was totally destroyed. The man was broken. Nothing is heavier than when friends break in your heart. At that time, what did Job say in chapter 13 from verse 1 to 3? He said, no one can help me. No one can help me. The only person that can help me in this world is God. I need God and God alone. I don't need your preaching. I don't need your compassion. I don't need so-called your hugs. What I need is God and God alone. I need him in my life. My trust is in God. My faith is in God. Only he can understand me. Only he knows what I am going through in life. And I turn my face to God. And this should be our attitude. When a problem comes to your life, don't run away from God. Go closer to God. Most of the time we run away from him, but get closer to God. That is your attitude. And you see, in from chapter 38 to 41, God answers Job. And in other words, God said, aha, now you are turning to me. Now you are crying out to me. Now you say, I need you, because every door is closed. My body is suffering. My family are lost. The only thing I need is your help and compassion. He prayed to God. I don't know about you, but I believe in that invisible hand, that God will make a way when there seems to be no way. That invisible hand is always there. And Job got a revelation. And when Job got the revelation in chapter 42, he says, my ears have heard you, O God, but now my eyes have seen you. My eyes have seen the glory of God. Because God talked to him. Amen. And then in chapter 42, God blessed him. When you read chapter 42, God blessed him, and Job received, I believe, double back what he had lost before. The ways of the Lord thou shalt not understand. The only thing thou can do is to trust in him, to have faith in him. I just want to finish with my conclusions. My brothers and sisters, when you go through hardship in life, when you go through sorrow, hearken unto the Lord. Hearken unto the Lord. And do not lose your integrity. Still keep worshiping God. Do not run away from God. Do not run away from church. Worship God. A righteous man, a person of integrity, may go through nightmares. You may go through shame. You may go through sorrow. But at the end, you will rise more stronger, more successful, more blessed than ever before. No matter how many times a righteous man falls, says the book of prophets, Proverbs, he or she shall rise again. And let me tell you something. I have good news for you today. The accuser, whose name is accuser? Satan. The accuser, this is my revelation, I finish. The accuser can never accuse you anymore. That is the time of Job. Because we live now in the time of Jesus. And Satan can never accuse you anymore, because the Son of God died on the cross and paid the price for you and me, so that the accuser will accuse no more. But the sad news is, it's not the devil who accuses, but sometimes are the fellow brothers and sisters who accuse. And that's my message today. Accuse not when you see someone is suffering. Mind your own life. And remember, no matter how many times you fall, a righteous man shall rise again. Hallelujah. Let us pray.